In this episode, I'm going to break down the latest news that matters to video marketing masters.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hey-o! Another week here behind the microphone. More information developing as the video marketing world starts to explode and more marketers are recognizing that the real power to convince and convert at faster rates is not happening with text. It's happening with video. Man, this was an amazing week. I just got back from the Miami Breast Cancer Conference. I go every single year. It's in Fountain Blue. And if you know Fountain Blue, it's just a gorgeous historical hotel that just does an amazing job. Great customer service, amazing food. Very well priced for people who have a ton of money. Me, not so much, but really expensive. To give you an idea, how much do you think my Tito's and soda was at the bar? Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Tito's is not a premium vodka, right? It's like middle of the road. Maybe it's even well, but it's not a premium. It's not a Grey Goose or a Kettle. How much do you think it costs? $22, right? For one drink. And I could, and I didn't even put the tip down yet. And I couldn't wait to get home. But anyway, while I was there in the lobby, there was something cool going on for video marketers. And there was last year when I was there, Floyd Mayweather was there with his posse of 50 all in the hotel. And we also had, Floyd had his camera crew with him. And the camera crews were just following around filming a documentary. And I asked them if they edit anything up, where could I see it? Because I was interested, and their cameras weren't cheap. They were like, well, they were money team cameras. They were expensive. They were walking around with like Scarlet Reds, and they're just filming Floyd everywhere he goes. And I said, is there a place where I could look at these videos? And the guy said, oh, no, we don't actually edit them. We just keep them in case somebody tries to sue us. Right? So I thought that was super interesting. So when I went back this year, again, I saw more and more cameras. And this time I was really interested. So I put my investigative reporter hat on, and I started asking the guys questions. Turns out ESPN was in the house, and they were filming some type of a special on the Miami Dolphins. But here's how I found out about the Dolphins. I'm talking to a client. I'm not an F-bomb dropper, right? I'm talking to a client. And in the right behind the client stops, he looks at his phone. And out of my mouth, I say, as I'm talking to the client about video marketing, I go, that's freaking Dan Marino. Because you don't expect to have Dan Marino that close to you, right? And with him was Dominic Sue. It was like I was straight out of an episode of HBO Ballers. It was awesome. And ESPN had a crew of maybe 40. All right, I also went and saw, when I was there, the Bare Naked Ladies. They played in my hotel, and that was a lot of fun. I didn't expect to go, but a group of rock star doctors said, dude, you're going. We already bought your ticket. You don't have a choice. And that concert. Hey, Christo, have you ever seen Bare Naked Ladies? I'm talking about the concert.
No.
I'm talking about the band.
No, I have not.
Hey, do you even know who they are?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because I don't know a single song. Okay.
Two hit songs from the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, right?
Exactly.
So I was reluctant. I was reluctant to go. But when I went, they played like 10 cover songs that were epic. I don't even know if they were their songs or not, okay? But
those were cover songs. They were their songs.
it was a whole lot of fun. On the show notes page for this episode, I'll put up some photos of the Bare Naked Ladies. I didn't take a freaking Dan Marino photo, but I should have. On my flight home, I sat next to one of the guys that puts on Burning Man on the airplane. They have 90 employees. Full-time employees for Burning Man.
They get paid.
Is that? I asked
they
him.
Pay them in like berries and beans.
I know. I basically interviewed this poor guy on the airplane because it was cross country. I needed to burn some time, but I was also particularly interested in the Burning Man operation. But when he told me he worked for Burning Man, with a straight face, I thought I joked and acted like he worked for Bernie Sanders. So I was like, oh, cool, you work with Bernie Sanders? And he's like, a Burning Man. And I go, yeah, Bernie Sanders. I'm jackass. I was just jackass. So that was a lot of fun.
Did he look like a normal person, or was he like Burning Man-esque? Like,
I think he might have been a cross. I think he might have been a cross between. He looked like a musician.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So that, like, my first thought was maybe he's in Bare Naked Ladies. I was at that concert. I don't know what any of them really look like. And and I also noticed this week, Facebook's doing something awful interesting. They are serving up people for me to follow or people to friend. That there's like no absolute way that Facebook knows I know these people. Like the people that live next door to us that I don't want to talk to. Do you know what I mean? They're like the ones that you see and you're just like, you just wave, but you don't really know their names. There's no way that Facebook knows that I know them, and I don't know why they're serving them up. Very, very strange. So let's get down to the news that matters to video marketers. Now, before I do that, have you ever said to yourself, oh, please, dear God, not another password? You gotten to that point in your life? Yeah, me too. I got like passwords falling out everywhere. I got spreadsheets, collecting passwords and stupid password names upon. If I have to give somebody in the office a password, what I do is I'm put in that thing like I write some kind of password, and then I write as part of the password, shared with the team on this date, and I put it in my spreadsheet so I know who's got access to it, right?
What's the point of a password if everybody here at the office uses the same password, right. And all has the same password? Like, it's, can we just unlock everything?
Just unlock it. So, when I'm prepping for each episode, I place interesting video marketing news inside of unique prep folders. This is just how I learned to do it as a talk show host back in the day. And in my prep folder named, quote, "Fake News Makes Good News," Saturday Night Live's Trump and political skits have contributed to the brand's whopping 48% subscriber growth on its channel from September 1st, 2016 to March 1st, 2017. SNL's YouTube channel jumped from just over 2.5 million subscribers to more than 3.8 million subscribers. And these numbers, they don't even brush the surface of the amount of views and engagement SNL's political content has been receiving, right? It's just remarkable. Fake news making good news. Search Engine Land reported that since yesterday morning, the SEO industry has been watching an unconfirmed Google ranking update that seems to target more of the link quality aspects of the overall algorithm. Now, many are calling this the Fred update. That's the name. Like, there's Panda and Penguin and Hummingbird, and now this one is Fred, a name that we're also adopting, says Search Engine Land. And that name frame came from Google's Gary I, who was jokingly suggesting that all updates should be named Fred, and his joke just kind of stuck, and the industry is calling this update Fred. Now, I reached out to my friend Eric Enga, who you know from this podcast was named the Search Marketer of the Year. And I reached out to him to get a quote for this podcast. And you know where I found him? Speaking in Germany on the other side of this big round ball of ours. He said, Todd, it looks like this update has primarily tagged publishers that have a ton of thin content pages or too much advertising on them, i.e. advertising that is so heavy that it interferes with the practical access to the content by users. It's not an update that Google's acknowledging because they do so many updates every year. In fact, some Google updates get pushed out almost every day. But this one is drawing a reaction because it's noticeably impacting one class of sites that Google considers to be low quality. Now, thank you. A special thank you to my friend Eric Enga for doing that at Stone Temple Consulting. Stone Temple Consulting, they are really the rock stars in search and in content, and a great source of information I will put a link on the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/70. In a moment, I'm going to tell you some really unique way to remember episode 70, but we'll get back to that in a moment. The big picture here is Google is running a very consistent theme. Pages that have thin content that's lacking real substantial information are just going to get downgraded. They're like, you know, pages that you get an image of like what Kardashian is wearing what, and you click the forward button and you get another Kardashian outfit. All those kind of pages are getting downgraded. Thank you, good Lord. Thank you, Google. In my YouTube folder, my colleague Greg Jarboe reported in Tubular Insights that there are three big YouTube facts that you should know about. And I saw this week. It's perfect for this podcast. Fact number one is 70% of YouTube viewing happens on mobile devices. Do you get it? 70%. So you really got to start optimizing from the editing perspective what you're going to be showing on mobile, because one, we're all friggin' blind. Two, if you're going to show any type of text, make it large, right? So when you're reviewing your videos, don't open them up onto your big screen and watch like cinematically. If 70% of your audience is going to be watching it on their cell phones, shrink it down. Look at it on your cell phone. See it in the native environment, right? The second thing Greg Jarboe pointed out is the official YouTube blog on February 27th revealed that, quote, people around the world are now watching a billion hours of YouTube's incredible content every single day. Now, you heard that on this podcast a couple of weeks ago. It was important enough to bring it up again. And the third thing you need to know about is the YouTube algorithm is currently weighed to give watch time 85% of the YouTube algorithm results. Relevancy gets 10%, and the other 5% goes to a combination of the following: start sessions, what video percentage is watched, session starts on the channel, the viewing duration, upload frequency, the session duration and session end, and all those accumulate for the remaining percentage. It's really interesting. In this article, he says, if you want to be successful on YouTube, the best advice we can give is to focus on one very specific niche interest and make as many as 10-minute long videos or longer videos as you can about a singular topic, right? And it's important that you know that this strategic insight is something that Wirebuzz has been sharing in other episodes, and it just reconfirms that if you want to rank for search, think about long form, think about creating really compelling, convincing quality content that is the definitive guide on that topic, and you'll rank really well. In my show prep folder titled, quote, damn it, why didn't I think of this? YouTube launches Uptime. Have you heard about Uptime? It's an experimental app for watching videos with your friends. I mean, video is really one of the more lonely things to do, right? Like, if I'm going to watch a video, the last thing I'm going to do is, like, want to chat up a friend during it. But think about this. Looking to turn watching YouTube videos into more of a social experience, a team from Google's internal incubator, also known as Area 120, not to be confused with Area 51, has launched Uptime, an app that lets you watch videos together with your friends. Now, the app is initially available only on iOS devices because, let's face it, even the people of Google know that people who have iOS devices are significantly cooler, thank you, and it feels very different from the standard YouTube experience. Now, the app has a youthful, lively design. It includes reaction features. You can think of what those are. They're like thumbs up, angry face, smiley face, heart, those kind of reaction features inspired by live streaming services such as Twitter's Periscope and Facebook Live. That's a TechCrunch article, and it goes right back into my damn it, why didn't I think of this folder? Because it's really smart. Kids are going to want to communicate with friends. I actually, my wife isn't on Facebook. When I see a video, I put it in the save folder. At the end of the day, I go through and show her all the cute things, like the cat that's bathing the big dog, or the little dog, the little wiener dog that's cleaning the teeth out of the lion at the zoo. We like those things. We watch it together. People are going to want to do it. They're friends. Good on you, Google. Well done. Oh, here's an interesting folder. This time I'm going to tell you the article, right? We're going to talk about the article, and I'll let you guess what folder this story belongs in my filing system, all right? Okay, here's the headline. More millennial dads watch parenting videos on YouTube than moms. What? CBS News reports that millennials aren't just those crazy kids. Google points out that more than 40% of them are parents. What Google discovered was millennial parents were different. In particular, you see millennial dads, dude, they are stepping up to the plate and they're taking on caregiver roles. And that's why on YouTube, more millennial dads are watching parenting-related videos than moms. Interesting, isn't it, Christo? Mm-hmm. Right? You wouldn't have thought that, right?
Not at all.
Right, me neither. But here's what I think is going on. I think videos are being watched by millennial moms and millennial dads. I'm willing to guess that more millennial moms are watching than millennial dads. But what's happening is the dads are the ones that opened up the YouTube account. So any video that the millennial mom watches, dad gets credit for, and rightfully so. It's hard to open up those YouTube accounts. Millennial parents rely on guidance from multiple sources and are fine accepting advice from companies through branded content. Now, did you hear that? They're okay accepting branded content. Now, if that's true, why are so many marketers acting like branded content is the devil? Now, that's El Diablo for our Spanish-speaking audience that listens in regularly on this podcast. This CNBC story also reports that many millennial parents were going online to look for answers regarding, check this, smartphone-related issues with their children. Now, that makes total sense because these parents, you roll the clock back, they were really the first generation to go on to Google and type a way to learn how to defeat their parents and hack their way out of the cable system's parental controls. You know that to be true. And I also saw this in the study findings that so many parents are turning to Google and YouTube for advice on when they should introduce a smartphone to their kids or unlock their phones. So what folder does this belong in? I think it belongs in the folder that's titled Video Rules the How-To World, right? We're all looking for information. People prefer to learn from video. When a business embraces this concept about how to use video, they have significant advantages over their competitors who are still forcing their prospects to work really, really hard to learn about their services. You know, reading is hard. Expecting your prospects to read and asking them to do so is insanity, especially in this time. In my Not Again folder, I noticed that Yahoo News reported that one of the Kardashian girls were focused wearing mesh this week. Yeah, not again. Hey, did you know that YouTube has a new 6-second ad format? It was created for mobile viewers who have little time for the 30-second commercial interruptions. I mean, that's basically what it is. And Ad Age is reporting that YouTube challenging content creators and advertising agencies to use this 6-second format to help get the ads out. And really, it's an acknowledgement of attention span. So I'm going to put that article up there. And I find it really interesting because Twitter, and this comes from a Business Insider article, is testing guaranteed pre-roll video ads with about a dozen brands. Now, these guaranteed placements ensure that the brands have a minimum amount of ads that run before premium videos, and they can be targeted to specific demographic segments. Now, if successful, the new capabilities can be rolled out to a broader set of Twitter advertising clients to help drive some TV ad spend to the platform. Now, what is guaranteed pre-roll video ads? What does that mean? You know, sometimes it's okay to adopt a traditional established industry like television's 30-second ad platform. It actually makes a lot of business sense for the short term. You know, if companies who traditionally advertise on TV are having a hard time getting their heads around non-traditional ad buys and the rates for online properties. It makes a lot of sense for Twitter to be adopting the traditional media's 30-second TV commercial format. But at the end of the day, you're already seeing that the big dog's YouTube, right? You're already seeing that YouTube's like, screw the long format ones. We're going straight to the 6-second ones because our audience hates the 30-second ones, right? But what Twitter's doing is, you know, I mean, it's getting very interruptive. A 30-second ad interrupts the flow, and eventually that 30-second ads are going to be a thing of the past. They're far too interruptive. People are more aggressive viewers today. I'm like Usain Bolt of web surfing, right? If I get hit by something that's a 30-second ad, I bail and I'm gone. And now that you're done with this story, it really is an indicator of Twitter hunting for rapid adoption. What they're trying to do is bring in cash, even though in 6 months or in a year or a year and a half, they're eventually going to go the way of YouTube, who already knows what the market segment around video wants. I find it interesting that Twitter is a platform devoted to 140 characters, short, succinct takes, but they're going to allow advertisers to slow down the river and make people sit there for 30 seconds. Big mistake. In last week's episode, I told you that YouTube TV could present some unique opportunities for many content creators across the YouTube multi-network channel. And then I detailed out the different ways to stand out, seize the opportunity, carpe diem. And in this week, Fierce Cable wrote that YouTube TV could present some unique new opportunities for many content creators across YouTube's multi-channel network. BTIG analyst Rich Greenfield said in a new research note that the service will give YouTube content creators a platform on par with linear television programming. Now, I was telling you guys that if you have a niche that needs to be serviced, start creating a show around it. If there's a passion in your industry, if you are a foodie in your hometown, right? Start creating a show. If you travel a lot for business, start reviewing hotels and do it in video, because if you're really engaging, you're going to be creating an opportunity to stand out. And then before you know it, you're going to be on par with one of these YouTube TV shows and channels. Remember, any content creator that has an account on YouTube has a channel, right? YouTube's a network. So think of your channel just like one of the 1,000 channels that you have on your TV and start catering to a very specific audience. I also shared with you last week that Facebook was talking with Major League Baseball and Major League Soccer. And now, as Business Insider reports, the ink is just starting to dry. Major League Soccer in the U.S. is coming to Facebook. At least 22 matches from the 2017 regular season will be live streamed for free in the U.S. via the Univision Deportes Facebook page, MLS announced on Friday. Now, the streams will show specific angles for mobile phones and feature Facebook-specific commentators, interactive graphics, and fan Q&A and polling features. The MLS Facebook page will also stream 40 Facebook-only match day live shows that will feature highlight reels of post-game and competitor analysis. Now, Facebook's deal with MLS underscores the social network's efforts to become a destination for longer, more permanent video content. Now, we've been talking about this for a while. Mark Zuckerberg, the big Zuck, has described video as a mega trend for the company. And you may also recall that I reported on Facebook recently about a standalone TV app that Facebook rolled out. I think it's called Facebook Video off the top of my head, but we've got it here in the office. We demoed it. Facebook is going to use shorter videos in their news feed to tease people about this MLS soccer and the baseball games. So they're going to use these shorter videos to tease people, to bounce them and to bounce interested viewers to a Facebook standalone video app. You see what they're doing? They're going to move population just like they did with Messenger. If somebody wants to interact with you and you go to hit that Messenger button, it all of a sudden opens up a second app. They're going to do the same thing with video. So if you want to watch Major League Baseball or Major League Soccer or presidential debate, they're going to move you off of that platform and into the other one that's optimized for the video viewing experience. Pretty ingenious, right? And I'm going to make a prediction here. If I was advising Facebook or any other sports broadcast producer, I'd make a very strong recommendation to them to do something super innovative. Now, traditionally, we've only seen teams calling sports games with very serious. Like, it goes like this. Magic yo-yoing down court, takes a cross-court dribble drive over to AC Green, AC back over to Magic into Worthy. Worthy out of North Carolina, spin move, tomahawk baseline in the popcorn machine, right? Real dry. Occasionally, they throw in something clever like Chick Hearn in the popcorn machine. But every time I watch a game with my friends, that's not what the experience is like. We're sitting around and we're watching a game and the volume's off. We are talking trash to each other. And what makes sports so much fun is the outrageous banter that comes out in guys' mouth in the way we talk to each other. The machismo, the chest thumping, the heckling. Somebody soon, please, for the love of all sports, take three buddies that are hilarious. Put them on a microphone together and let them hash it out the way guys really talk. Because I like Joe Buck. I think his hair looks great, but dudes don't talk like Joe Buck when we watch sports. Let's keep it real. All right, all right. Well, that's the news that matters to video marketers. I hope you can use it, digest it, start building it into your workflow here or there, and be prepared. Because video is rapidly changing every single week. I've got maybe 100 news stories to sift through in order to bring the ones that are telling you really the big picture of where this industry is developing. And as I'm sharing these news stories, I hope you're able to see the light at the end of the tunnel where this industry is headed so you can start preparing yourself to meet the industry and get down the road before others get there. If you see a news story that you want to see featured in this podcast, by all means, hit me up. You can find me on Twitter or on Facebook or on LinkedIn, or you can hit me up at my email address, todd@wirebuzz.com. That's Todd with two Ds, which makes three quarters of my name just flat out odd. Cool? All right. If you're trying to figure out how you're going to remember episode 70, right? An easy way to remember it is 1970 is the year that the Beatles broke up. Damn you, Yoko Ono. That's all you got to remember. Number 70, wirebuzz.com/70. All right, all right. If you're interested in how to use video to generate ROI and to guarantee it, I just finished a video course. It's a mini course, and it's free to the listeners of this podcast. You can access it at wirebuzz.com/ROI. That's right, return on investment. You can find it there. And we'll send you an email each day of the 5 days of the mini course and bring you up to speed with yours truly and my gorgeous mug looking directly at you, giving you all the latest information that you need to know to use video to guarantee you get a very strong, healthy ROI. Okay, well, that's this episode. If you find this podcast valuable, if I'm giving you information that's making you a better marketer, by all means, do two things. Actually, do three things. Send it to a friend you're rooting for, right? Don't hoard all the great information. Send it to a friend. Next thing, go to Stitcher, iTunes, or Google Play and subscribe. Then we'll automatically send you the latest episode. And the final thing, do me a solid. Give me an honest rating and review. I don't care if it's mean. Just be honest, right? Okay, that's the latest news that video marketers absolutely positively need to know in order to become a video marketing master.